short note compilation we have finally completed. So it will be sent to the printer tomorrow. Yeah. What do you mean by English? Go, all done already. Done quite a while ago. Quite a few people help out actually. Yeah. Many things all done up already. So this one, total 174 pages. Plus the cover, I think about 180. So it will be this thick. Combined, but using wired combine, very nicely done. Then when it's ready, this is your handbook. It will be very beautiful. Tonight, maybe if you got condition, I will share a bit with you all. So this one, it came about because the condition was such. That time I didn't even know that we are going to have notes. Normally, I have been conducting this Heart Sutta many times already. If I'm not wrong, at least 4 times. So, most of the time it's recorded. Last time, cassette tape. Then the cassette tape rosak. Then later on, I think we use, they try to put into CD. Then this time one is the best, I think. So I bought this recorder, very clear. Then the way the notes come about also very funny, because basically invited me there, I think beginning of 2012, before Chinese New Year, after she attended my class. But at that time, his teacher, Po Yen Sang Lao, just passed away not long. So somehow the condition arise. After she attended my class, she decided to invite me to the Vihara, Mahayana Vihara, Hu Ping Jing Se. And I haven't been to that place before until the invitation. So when I was there, very strange thing happened. Then somehow she just make an invitation on that day itself. Say, Brother Teo, can you come here and share the Heart Sutta with us? Then I say, you Mahayana temple, no? I teach English, no? I don't know how to teach Mandarin. No? He said, never mind, you teach English. He said, there are many English educated one who wants to understand. Yeah, this Heart Sutta is very difficult to understand, no? Very difficult to teach. Then I say, if that is the case, then okay, I will come. That's how it all started. Then there were many conditions, I think. But I think everything fall into place, resolved. Then when the short notes came out, actually before that there was no short notes. It started off with these pointers. Because Miss Lee that time was very new to. She just take down some important pointers. The good thing about pointer is you remind me of what I shared. So when I look at the thing, I can recall what I share. So I decide to just quickly translate into note form, so that short notes, so that the next lesson I can go through again, then people can develop the understanding. So this was how the short note came about. Then later on, as the sharing continued, the Q&A was so interesting. They asked such good questions. The way it was answered also was equally beautiful. Then I saw a pattern coming out. I said, how come like that one? Then as they distribute all this note, nobody knew that it would become a compilation of short notes to form a book. Until much later, then when somebody suggested, because they find the note very good, then I decided to read through the notes. So, then I saw, how come like a pattern one? Everything I have been sharing for the past 10 years, except the higher teaching, the Bodhisattva way, they are all there. So I sort of agree. I say, okay, it will be a good project to do. we compile all this into a book. So this one involves a lot of people because so many chapters. We got to proofread, we got to do up the Pali font, then we got to actually do the formatting, everything, then combine them into a document, then run it and check it. So it has been going on for many months. Then suddenly, end of last year, we more or less there. So we just finalized it recently. So hopefully, this one, when it come out, you don't need to take notes anymore. You just refer to this as your handbook. Spend time reading it, reflecting, contemplating. Everything is there. Some are repeated in a very nice way. And the Q&A, look at the Q&A. The Q&A are beautiful. I will read to you some of the Q&A of this. Oh, we have to start the puja. Come, the clan group who make the offering. Come, light the candle and the incense. Then we can start. Come, just come forward. The people who are responsible for the puja, you come forward. Sadhu, 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 pass it on, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu means rejoice. Rejoice at all the generosity, the wholesomeness, and all the good things that we are doing. Then develop the faith. Rejoice with what you see. people's faith, people's generosity, people's joy. Then rejoicing is a wholesome mind state. It will help you in your cultivation. When you can rejoice, you have a lot of happiness. Then you have a lot of merits and blessings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We offered the Heart Sutta book also because this is the day we got it printed. Hot from the publisher. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The actual size will be half that thickness because we will photostat on both sides. This one is single-sided. Okay. Thank you so much. You can go back and take your seat. Then we will pay respect to Lord Buddha. And that's Triple Jam. Compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha and virya. Then we will pay respect. Buddhaṃ pacayami. Dhammaṃ pacayami. Sanghaṃ pacayami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we will start the chanting. Turn to page 4. We will start off with the Vandana. Then after that, we will take the three refuge, followed by the five precepts, then the puja offering. Then we will make our aspiration. Vandana is homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu miccācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrā mīrayā majjhāpamādatthānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja. It's on page 5 for those who just came in. You can turn to your chanting book in front. Gana sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamo nodang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hena pujaye pujaniyang tang. Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nina Punena Matena Cha Mohtu Hukang Putpang Milayati Yatta Itamme Kayo Tata Yati Vina Sabhavang Adivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikang Pitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatu Muttamang. Okay, turn to the last page, yeah? Page 18. We will do the aspiration. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise near needed clarity and understanding, to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significant of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. We'll make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Give your pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself, body and mind. Oh, okay, you are new, welcome. You have been to Brickfield, Subang Temple before? Oh, good, means you're familiar with the Buddhist teaching, basic Buddhist teaching, very good. So, save me some time, I don't have to explain the same as to a newcomer who totally don't have any understanding of the Buddhist teaching. So if you have been a Buddhist before, then you have got some idea of what this Buddha Dhamma is all about, then it is easier to follow. What you need to do is just relax yourself, body and mind completely. So we are here to train our mind to develop a type of meditation, which they call vipassana meditation. So vipassana, as the word denote, is a Pali word. VI stand for the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or in Pali is anicchang dukkhang anatta. Passana is to insight into. So when you combine these two words, it means to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. And according to the Buddha, everything in this universe, they exhibit these three universal characteristics. So when you penetrate this understanding, you will have great understanding of what the nature's law that governs life and existence is all about. And you will also have a lot of understanding of who you are, what you are, and why the Buddha said basically this so-called human being is not what you think you are. Because the core teaching is anatta. Anatta is, many people translate it as non-self, not you. There is no permanent unchanging entity, living entity or a being that you can call this is me, this is I within. So because of that, they say it's non-self. But actually anatta, the meaning is a lot deeper. It also means empty nature, non-self, and whatever that you come to perceive in this universe, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena. So it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that will remain eternally the same. Because within the conditioned world, everything is conditioned arising. So because of that, the Buddha said they exhibit this universal characteristic. Because when condition change, that phenomena also evolve and change. And as long as the supporting conditions are still there, it like exists, real. Then when the existing conditions cease to be, supporting conditions cease to be, the phenomena cease to be, then people say, disappear or die. That's how delusion sets in when you cannot understand all this. So the three universal characteristics, they are very vital for the development of wisdom, so that you can understand life clearly, so that you will not be deluded by what you see, what you perceive through your senses. When you hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something. And to do this meditation, the Buddha said, you need to train your mind to be ever mindful. Otherwise, you cannot do this style of meditation. It is not peaceful enough or silent enough to allow you to develop the direct seeing, to insight into phenomena. That's why there is a sutta that the Buddha spoke about, the Sabbasavak Sutta. And the Buddha said, destruction of asavak or defilement can only come about in one who knows and see, not in one that doesn't know and doesn't see. So this seeing refers to direct seeing without the thought, from the true mind. If you see with the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, then you see with all the delusion that comes along with the conditioning of your mind, your views, your opinion and all those things. But when you do it with your true mind, the direct seeing is so different. But the true mind got no word, no concept, nothing, no conditioning. It's just that pure nature. It will awaken to phenomena. There is no thought involved. So this direct seeing will give rise to wisdom. And the wisdom is an understanding. That's why they use the word knowing. Actually, knowing is not so appropriate a word. It should be understanding. seeing and understanding. Mm. So this is a short summary of what we need to do here. So for those who are new, who still need instruction, I will give you the instruction to train your mind, how to develop the heedfulness and the mindfulness to meditate. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start your meditation straight away. Then we will off the light. Yeah, we are off the light. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you already developed the understanding, so you can straight away start. Then for those who are new and who need instruction, you listen attentively. Relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then you silence everything. Don't try to know. Relax and just silence. Maintain awareness. Then you close your eye. Then you feel. Don't think. Feel. Feel your forehead. Just feel. Silence everything and feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax it. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Relax and relax every muscle within the forehead. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just feel all the eye muscle, the ciliary muscle. Then relax it. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. You sweep through strand by strand. Make sure your facial muscles are all relaxed, soothingly relaxed. This mind sweeping method can help you to decondition your heedless thinking. It can also help you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be there. You want it to be at the eye muscle, it will be there. Facial muscle, it will be there. Then you learn how to feel relaxed. You don't think anymore. So this feeling and relaxing will make you more calm and more peaceful. It will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. Because the mind has got something to do. It can feel, then it relax. So this will bring about inner peace very fast. But then we also need to help to develop inner well-being. So we will combine this mind sweeping method with loving kindness or metta. Metta is a very wholesome mind state. So we start off by visualizing ourselves facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile to ourselves. When you can visualize that radiant smile, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of peace within. A mind that is radiant, happy, is without stress. There is joy. So naturally your facial muscle will relax more easily. Then you can start to recite, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being, every cell within. When you recite, may I, you feel this body and mind of mine. You feel the body and the mind. Be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and your mind. Within your entire being, each and every cell of it. You can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our heart. Feel it. Feel the deep peace within the silence. The joy and the love. Then you can redate this same loving kindness or metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Well and happy. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May their mind states too be peaceful and wholesome always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. You can visualize them and radiate all this metta to them. Then we can come back to all beings within this vicinity and kayanamitas. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends and kayanamitas, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you continue with this metta radiation. Now we spread it further. May all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, and our galaxy, Milky Way, and the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then by now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can come back to your facial muscle, feel. Relax every part within the facial muscle, feel it suddenly relax. Then you move your attention to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Feel and relax every part of it. Then you move now to your chest area or around your heart area. You just feel, don't think, just feel. Just like you feel your forehead, feel. Then relax every part within. For those who are already more sensitive, you have developed some form of mindfulness and calmness, then you just silent and feel. See what can you detect. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, then you just silent your mind and stay there. Allow that silent mind to be one with that vibration or heartbeat. Then it will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. Then you just relax into it. For those who are new, who have not developed the training of the mind, it's okay. You just silent, feel relaxed, just like you feel and relax your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax them. Feel it soothingly, relax your entire heart area and chest area. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. For those who are using the rising and falling as their object of meditation, you can also silence your mind and feel. Then let the awareness detect the rising and falling. Don't go and look for it. Don't go and visualize it. You just silence everything. If you are silent enough, the phenomena will come to you. The rising and falling will come to your awareness. And your awareness will move in perfect harmony and synchrony with the movement of the abdomen. That is what sati is. Mind and the phenomena as one, without thought. If you are not using that as an object of meditation, then you just feel, relax. Then you move on to your leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse all this whole mind sweeping method. From the leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same. Then you sweep up to your heart area again. You silence everything, feel. When you silence, your mind is very sensitive. You can detect a lot of things. For those who have developed the mindfulness, the silent mind, you can even detect your own heartbeat without the stethoscope. Then you just silent. Whatever vibration that comes through the sense door, the hearing consciousness, just silent and be with it. Then after that, you can move up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, feel, relax completely. Then after that, you move it up to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. When you feel, you just feel, no thinking, and relax into it. Then your forehead, do the same, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Your mind state should be more tranquil. You should have developed some form of inner peace and inner well-being. Now you are ready to meditate. You are ready to train this mind further so that this silence, this mindfulness can be more stable. If you got any object of meditation or skillful means that can allow you to train this mind, then you can use it. Otherwise, you can use anapanasati, which the Buddha recommended. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So when you combine the two words, anapanasati, it becomes mindfulness of the in and out breath. So this is to use the breathing as an object of meditation to anchor your mind. Because our breathing is always in the moment. So when you can be aware of your breathing, then the breath and the mind move as one without thought. That is anapanasati. So instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Maintain awareness there, just aware. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then the moment your mind detects the breathing, allow the mind to flow in harmony with the breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. You just train yourself in this way. Initially, if you are not used to it, the mind will wander off very fast. Within split second, you realize your awareness is no more with the breathing. It's gone. you are lost in thought. The mind just wander. But do not worry. Be patient. Expect this wandering mind to wander off for many, many times. But as long as you are patient, every time it wanders off, patiently bring it back to the breathing. Detect it again. If you are patient enough, this anapanasati will come to be within a very short period. Then when sati develop, means this mind together with the breathing move as one without thought, you will experience a calm state of mind, transforming into what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual bliss, or some people call it the spiritual rapture. So this spiritual calmness or peace is a very good state of mind. It's an enlightenment factor. You will feel good and you will like to meditate. So you need to patiently train your mind in this way. Then after a while, if that piti arises, you just continue to develop the mindfulness, stabilize it until it becomes very calm, very peaceful and very stable. Then you continue to relax into it. Not long after that, if you have developed the training appropriately, this piti will become more and more refined. Then it will become what the Buddha calls sukha. Sukha is a more refined piti. It is a type of bliss that you can feel deep within your mind state. It's a very blissful one, and you will like to meditate. But this is a state of mind that can cause attachment if you are not careful. So when you come to understand that piti and sukha has arisen, you just relax into it and allow it to be. Then allow that piti and sukha to develop until the sukha also become very subtle, very quiet, very peaceful. Then your mind will slow down. Everything will become very subtle. Your breathing also will slow down until it becomes very subtle. Initially, when mindfulness comes, the breathing can become long breath. The long breath become very clear, very calm. But after a while, when you know how to relax and stabilize it, everything will start to slow down until it transforms into the silent mind. The Buddha called it pausati. Pausati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind or the meditative mind. When pausati arises, you just silent everything, relax, and stay with your object of meditation. Then the mind will become very sensitive. The mind will enter sati after that. Then when it stabilizes, technically you don't need any object of meditation to anchor the mind anymore. Means the mind is already trained. It can rest at any location you want it to be within your kaya. Then when you just silent everything, it's just aware. And you will be very sensitive and you can detect many, many things. That's why you center and rest at the heart area. You can feel your own heartbeat. You go back to your breathing. The very subtle breathing will come back to you. Then every movement is like magnified. Then you become like very calm, very peaceful and very tranquil. Then you just silence everything and develop the meditation. The real meditation is with the silent mind. You just silently observe within. For sati or mindfulness, is the silent, choiceless observation of the reality or what is. So you can just silent, then do not react or stir. Do not make a judgment or a choice or hold on to anything or interpret anything, just silent. Then that silent mind will understand. It can awaken the phenomena. Then it just, with the silent awareness within, observe what is going on within your own form and mind. And because of that sensitivity of that mind, it can understand clearly what happened within, how the mind, upon contact with external sense data at the sense basis, how it triggers off consciousness, and how when you input the content of consciousness, the seven universes, they are all there. One of them is feeling. That's why they always tell you upon contact feeling arise. Actually, not only feeling, the whole of the consciousness come to be too. Then the dependent origination say feeling, condition, craving. You don't just believe. You silence your mind and find out, see what happened. There are a lot of things happening. Actually, your mind stir because of your wrong view, your conditioning. That stirring is your like and dislike, your craving, positive and negative. That's why upon contact feeling arise, then feeling straight away conditioned in the craving because of your wrong view, your conditioning, your delusion, your sakayadity. So all this you will start to see, you will start to experience them. Then you will start to witness all the important dhammas that the Buddha talked about within your own form and mind. Okay, I will let you continue with the meditation. Those who need to train the mind, just train. Those who already know how to meditate, you continue to develop the silent mind to be aware. Then from there, you quietly observe the reality within that moment, to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and what these mind states are all about, and how they are dependent conditioning arising. The law of dependent origination is very, very important. Dependent on something, something else originates. So the dependent origination will explain to you clearly that there is no being inside there. There is no soul or permanent unchanging entity inside there to actually make you think, or make you hear, make you smell, tactile feel, taste or think. They are all automatic, nature's phenomena. Condition arising, dependent on whatever condition that has arisen. Then you will start to understand the teaching very clearly. Okay. I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Then after that, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. else still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. We are here to train our mind to have this quality of inner peace, inner well-being. And the mind that has this quality is very quiet, very peaceful. That's why all the training of mind centered on the spiritual faculty, especially mindfulness. When there is mindfulness, when it's stabilized, you will become very quiet, without thought, silent, just aware. That's why the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness will develop. Yeah. And this is the silent mind, this is the meditative mind that you can use to live life, to meditate. And the real meditation is to stabilize this mind, use it to live life, to move into daily life. And when you can be in this meditative state throughout the day, this is what Buddha meant by ever mindful, constantly meditative. You combine these two, it becomes appamada or heedfulness. So Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment, the here and the now. You are destined to become enlightened. So not that difficult. You only need to train the mind to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path, they got 8 path factors. First one is right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then right effort to purify your thought. Then after that, you have right mindfulness. And that one, you need to develop it. Within the Noble Eightfold Path factor of mindfulness, you have the 4 foundation of mindfulness. And you will come across the first foundation, Kayanupassana, where you have to train your mind to be mindful through Anapanasati. Then use it to be mindful of the 4 posture, followed by Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. And that is the real meditation. Means meditation in daily life, the daily mindfulness. Not until you penetrate that training to develop the initial wisdom, you cannot move on to the other category of cultivation within Kayanupassana and followed by the next foundation, which is Vedana, Citta and Dhamma. So this was summarized to you what you need to know. Okay, we will now do the invocation to invite the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. Then after that, we will get Sister Ingvi to help us to do the Pali version. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching or the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching or the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching or the doctrine. Okay.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo ayam badanta. Dhammasavanakalo ayam badanta.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatpo Inohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yokane Atta purisa pukala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Pay respect mindfully to learn better. We are now continue your second session. Huh? This second session is meditation reporting. Huh? You can report your meditation, then you can also at the same time ask me any question that is related to the meditation or the teaching, huh? And how to apply them. Okay, anybody? Yes, pass the mic. Your sister Kwan, isn't it?
Brother Kyo.
Yes.
I want to ask, can what I know from my meditation, what I know, wisdom
You need to read. You can read. Huh?
Can wisdom be yes. a thought from my meditating? That can be the wisdom.
Your question is, can wisdom be a thought?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing, can awareness be a thought?
Okay. Okay, fair enough. What and makes you ask like that?
What made me ask?
Because you are not sure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's why you want to clarify your doubt. Because to you, meditation without thought is like impossible to do, understand? Or? So I will answer your question. You see, what is wisdom? Wisdom is not a knowledge, understand? Or? If wisdom is not a knowledge, how can it be a thought? What is thought? Thought is respond to memory. From memory, it come out, understand? Or? That's why it's knowledge. It's a, either a perception or whatever. Understand? You may say it can think, correct? But is there a thinker behind the thought? That's why you must meditate to understand. There is no thinker behind the thought. There is no soul that is responsible for your thought process, understand? Or? The Buddha already explained, but you have to investigate into it. Everything that happened in this world, they are all dependent arising. That's why it's called the law of dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, including all your thought processes, how you function as a human being, how your mind operates. That's why from avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, the whole dependent origin, which is also in the chanting book. So it's very easy to understand. The reason why you ask this question is because you cannot silence your mind. You have yet to develop the understanding of what sati is. And you have to develop the understanding of what awakening or understanding, which is wisdom, is. You remember the five spiritual faculties? You look at the whiteboard. This is the five mental hindrance. So these are the mind state, the Buddha said, that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and aware within. Because these are hindrance of mind, it will hinder you. So these are the mind states that are very negative, in the sense that it makes you heedless, it makes you think a lot, it arises a lot of negative mental states. The Buddha said, this is the reason why you are not peaceful. This is the reason why you cannot enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrance. They hinders you, hinders your mind. And these five mental hindrance, you read the English translation, sensual desire, ill will, sleepiness, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, then restlessness of mind, lack of peace, born of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and doubt. This five thing, most human beings, they have them all. Unless you have already cultivated and developed the understanding of the Buddha's teaching. So the Buddha said, in order to overcome these five hindrances, you need to cultivate the opposite five, which is the five spiritual faculties. And this spiritual faculty, like the word here means, it will help you to understand spiritual teachings. Oh, sorry, wrong spelling. He put that facility. It should be faculties. Sorry. Nobody noticed. You, spiritual faculties. So the Buddha said, meditators' mistake is they try to fight the hindrance. They try to control, suppress, and do something to remove the hindrance. If you do that, you become worse. Because your lack of peace is not because of these five alone. It is because you lack these five spiritual faculty. That's why this one becomes strong, active.
And this one cannot be removed by fighting or suppressing or controlling. Even medication, it can only temporarily help you. That's why people with depression, people with very negative mental state, fear, insecurity, sorrow and lamentation, worry, anxiety, they have a lot of restlessness, then they are very doubtful. Then they have a lot of what they call lethargic mind. They are very tired most of the time, very stressful. So all this, the Buddha said, you cannot fight. Even if you try to use medication, like you cannot sleep, insomnia, your mind is restless, too much problem. Those people with depression and problem, they know. That's why they have to resort to what? Drinking, to drown the sorrow. Need alcohol to make them unconscious so that they can sleep. They want to forget about the unhappy mind, the problem. Then some, they resort to medication. They try to actually use medication. But now the psychiatrists, the doctors, they know when your mind has this restlessness or fear and all those things, it actually releases a type of hormone. And that hormone will lead to chemical imbalance within the human physic. Then the mind will be affected. Then it will cause them to release that type of hormone that will lead to all the fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness, all those things. So because of that, when they give you medication, it can be in the form of balancing your chemical imbalance. Then the other one is tranquilizer to make you sleepy, to dull your mind, to switch you off. When you are dependent on that, it's like drug. You need higher and higher dosage. Then when you become dependent, without the drug, you are miserable. So all this doesn't help. The Buddha said, you don't go and fight, you don't go and do any of this foolish thing. You only instead have to develop these five spiritual faculties. When these five are here, your mind state recover very fast. I will read to you, then you will understand. First is sadha, faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have a lot of faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is, how special the Buddha is, he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom, perfect in virtue. And to have such a great teacher to be our guide, we should actually have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. That's why our faith becomes very strong. So when you develop this faith, your mind becomes very peaceful, very calm, very composed. When the mind has faith, it got no more doubt. Understand? Then when the mind has faith, it will not be restless because it will be very composed and very calm. Then this sadha, confident in the Buddha's teaching, when you come to realize that his teaching is so wonderful, it can bring about enlightenment, can transform you completely, personality-wise, character-wise, until you can become a very beautiful human being, perfect in wisdom and understanding. Then you understand life perfectly, no more suffering. Then it will drive you to meditate. And this is what they call a spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate, to walk this way. The Buddha called it virya. So when you have this virya, you will be very, very different. Then you will go all out to cultivate, where you see the importance of this cultivation, this practice, this Dhamma. Then when virya is there, you will develop the mindfulness or sati that is needed to understand his teaching. Sati is the first enlightenment factor. Without sati, there is no meditation. Without sati, there is no Dhamma investigation, which is the second enlightenment factor. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. That's why the heedless are as if dead. So sati is very important. And what is sati? Mindfulness. Means mind in fullness without thought. That's why when you pay respect, body and mind move as one. Anapanasati, breathing. The mind and the breath move as one without thought. And that is sati, that is mindfulness. When you walk, just aware. body and mind move as one. When you sit, lie down, whatever activity is the same. So when sati develop, your mind become very calm. It's without thought. Most of the time, it's just aware, anchored to your kaya. When there is no thought, there is no restlessness. The mind become peaceful. That's why piti can arise, sukha can arise. Then it accumulate into pasati, then stabilize into samadhi. These are all enlightenment factors. Then when you have sati and samadhi, samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So when the sati and samadhi act together in the midst of daily life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel or think, because of samadhi, it is collected and unwavering, means your mind doesn't stir. Means you can see things as they are. Not according to your mental stirring. When you stir, means you react. You react according to what? Your mental conditioning, your wrong view, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant, what they call mind state, preference. So sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are without thought. Then only you can awaken to the truth and the reality. That's why wisdom, which is panya, the fifth spiritual faculty, can arise. So from here you will know, without sati and samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot develop wisdom. But what you see is what your mind tells you, according to your conditioning, which is thought-based, which is knowledge-based. Like if you do meditation in a retreat or in whichever place. If you use thought-based, means what? You use your thought. This will answer your question. When you use your thought, what happens? You try to look for Dhamma, then you think you develop the wisdom already. Yeah, I understand already. Like various type of phenomena that you are observing, it can be your rising, falling, or anapanasati, or any object of meditation. Then you say, oh, this is anicchang. This is impermanent. This is suffering, because you can feel. Yeah. Then you say, oh, it come and go. Impermanent leading to the understanding of non-self. Yeah. This one is using thought, knowledge-based. This one is not seeing things as they are. When you see, you go and relate to what you already memorized as Dhamma, which are all knowledge accumulated within the brain. So if you do that, that is not wisdom. That is knowledge. That's why when you have real sati, there is no thought. It's just aware. And because there is samadhi, the mind doesn't stir. Means it doesn't input any content. That's why you see things with a free mind, with the true mind. So when the direct seeing means the mind that see is the true mind without any words, without any concept, without any conditioning. Because there is no view, no concept within the true mind. The true mind is just that thing, just aware. But if you see with your mind and your views and your opinion and your conditioning, what happened? That mind will perceive, understand, flower, understand, beautiful, or pleasant, unpleasant. That all this knowledge will come in, understand. That is not wisdom. Wisdom is no word one. It just understand the truth and the reality at that moment. That's why this one will answer your question, understand. Your first question is, can wisdom be a thought? And now I ask you, can wisdom be a thought? It cannot be, understand? Because wisdom is an awakening direct from the true mind. And the true mind got no knowledge on. That's why when it understands, it awakens, it suddenly like, aha, inside the form and mind just realize. There is no proud thought, understand? That's why you have to be very quiet, very still. That's why the third turning, bhavana maya panya, is all about meditation. Wisdom born of bhavana. And what is bhavana? Meditative training. That's like the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why four foundation of mindfulness got no thought. Understand? It's just a deep. Mindful of the kaya, mindful of feeling, mindful of citta, content of consciousness, and mindful of dhamma. The Buddha never say, use thought, anasana. Like he says, standing, aware. He never say, standing, not standing, anasana. Or note this, note that, he never say that, anasana. He say, breathing, aware. Standing, aware. Whatever you do, just aware. Maintain awareness. Sati. That's why when sati become continuous, accumulate into pasati. Then finally stabilize as samadhi. That's why you look at the enlightenment factor. From mindfulness, sati, it's done. Without mindfulness, you cannot investigate dhamma. Actually, dhamma investigation is meditation. That's why you got the first turning, second turning, and the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then as you investigate the Dhamma, means the teaching that the Buddha taught you, then you come to understand it clearly, then you realize that it stands up to investigation. What will happen to your mind? You will have what? Huh? You will have a lot of joy and a lot of faith in it. Then your faith becomes unshakable in it. Because it stands up to investigation. Means what? The Buddha never lied, you know. All the teaching, the Dhamma is so perfect, you know, that it points towards the truth, you know, towards the reality that is happening exactly when we experience in life. Then when sati is able to investigate and develop this faith, become unshakable, what happened? From the faith, this virya will come, understand? That's why virya is the third enlightenment factor, understand? That's why it's all in sequence. When you have sati and you can investigate the mind and stand up to investigation, your faith very strong, it will drive you to meditate, understand? That's how virya come about. Then when virya is there, you will develop sati, very stable, because you will cultivate sati samadhi. Yeah. Then even before sati and samadhi, the moment you have virya and cultivate sati, sati will make you peaceful, calm. That's why piti can arise. And piti is the next enlightenment factor after virya, which is the fourth one. Understand not? Then after piti, for those who know how to meditate, they will be able to experience sukha, the bliss. But they were not attached to sukha, where they know it's a conditioned state, it's not an enlightenment factor. Then they just relax and silent. Until this blissful state settle down and become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until very quiet, until the bliss is all gone. That's why this sukha, you also have to develop the understanding of it. You cannot become gullible. A lot of people get stagnated there. It's because that mind state is so blissful, really, really blissful. Blissful until sometimes, like, your mind is in such a bliss, you know. There's a, like, ecstasy state, like they call, I don't know how to describe it. Like, you're so blissful until that mind is very difficult to describe. It's like, it releases something, very blissful. There is nothing more blissful than that. It's really, really blissful. Yes. You use the mic.
About attachment to sukha, meditation is difficult to achieve.
It all depends. It all depends. What you say could be true, because the four Brahma Vihara, not only metta, even compassion, karuna, mudita, rejoicing, and the so-called upeka, the four Brahma Vihara that Brahmas cultivate, they actually accumulate into jhanas, the various types of jhana. That's why they have jhanic factors, not enlightenment factor. And within the five jhanic factor, the first two is vitakka vichara, apply thought and sustain thought. That's why you use thought-based meditation. You focus, then you apply your thought there. Then you sustain it. That's why one-pointedness. You keep on noting, focusing, concentrating. Then after that, the mind doesn't think because you fix the mind. Means everything, you use energy to lock it into one-pointedness. Then this mind, because it cannot move, it cannot think, energy will build up because of your focusing. So when the energy build up, what happens is you will experience a calm mind state which they call piti. Piti will arise. Then as you continue to focus and concentrate, that piti will develop until it's so strong. Then it becomes very blissful. That's why sukha will arise. Then when sukha arises, they will continue to meditate until finally, stage by stage, they relinquish all the jhanic factors. The first two, vitakka vichara, then they go into second jhana. Then after that, they relinquish piti, they go into third jhana. Then after that, they relinquish sukha, they go into equanimity, one-pointedness, which is the fourth jhana. That's why the fourth jhana is characterized by upeka. Understand? And of all the five jhanic factors, piti is the only enlightenment factor. There is no sati. That's why I like what you say, because they attach to this. But they finally, even then, they relinquish sukha, they still end up attached to one-pointedness, energy field. That's why all this Brahma Vihara can develop jhana, no problem. But like what the Buddha went through, he followed the two teachers, Uddaka and Alara and Uddaka. He developed all the eight jhanas. And yet he was not satisfied because he knew this is not enlightenment. It has not freed him from birth, old age, sickness and death. He know he still has not realized. That's why he continued on his own to develop the cultivation. Until finally underneath Bodhi tree, when the condition is completely conducive and fulfilled, he connect back to his past and realize the full enlightenment to become a Sammasambuddha. So if you do all this mind state, like metta and all those things, your mind state can be very calm, very peaceful, very strong. Then it accumulate into piti sukha. If you're not careful, it will actually get stuck inside there. That is what attachment is all about. Then you know what happened. Every time you meditate, you want it repeated. Otherwise, you say, today my meditation is no good. So your meditation end up whether good or bad meditation. It's not about developing wisdom and insight anymore. It's more towards the experience, the good meditative state, equating that to progress and enlightenment. So that's where they go wrong. But if you know how to radiate metta, which the Buddha taught the monk at that time too, you radiate not by emerging into it, understand? You radiate by actually from your heart. Metta got a few levels. Initially, you need to verbalize. That's why you need to use thought. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. This is the first stage, using thought. But like you know, thought condition your emotion. When you radiate wholesome thought, you have wholesome state of mind. That's why metta become a very wholesome state, well-being. Then as you move on, after your metta become more and more stable, more and more strong, then you can wheel it out from your heart. Understand? That wheeling out from your heart is like there is a wheel. It's not verbalizing with the thought already. It's you wheel it out. From the heart, it can go out. You can radiate it out. And that is the second stage. Then when you can wheel until the metta is part of you, the third phase is the best. That metta just come out from your nature, your heart. There's a type of energy, very soothing one. If you can do that, I salute you. Yeah. all the non-human, the animal, they will feel you. That type of metta is very powerful. Yeah. And you are full of love at that time. Full of metta. Yeah. Nothing can disturb you. Your mind is very different at that time. Yeah. But that is what metta is all about. Then when you read it, your heart can also open up. So the purpose of metta is actually very useful. Yeah. It can bring about all this. Yeah. But now we come back to her question. Understand? Because wisdom got nothing to do with thought. Wisdom is an understanding. It's not rigid. It's not bound by thought, which is limited. Understand? You know what is a thought? When you input your content, that one become a thought. But if you are still a puttujana, not enlightened yet, what happened? You still got avijja, you still got sakkayaditti. So whatever content you input it through your thought, because you create thought, so it's not you are not like the soul that thing. You create thought through your wrong view, your conditioning. That's why your conditioning and your wrong view stir the mind. Then you react and you input. And that one goes into the content. That's why you get angry, you get unhappy, or sometimes you got fear of the unknown, fear of what the thought tell you when you project into the future. Then you develop unhappiness when you recall the unhappy past. Scars of memory, obviously. So this is how your wrong view through sakkayaditti and avijja create the content for you to input into your mind, the thought. So this thought, the moment it come out, because you still don't have the wisdom. So the thought has its content, and the content, like you know, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Sankara is the worst. The mental states that arise. That's how you feel the fear, the emotion, the anger, the unhappiness. All these are very negative mental states. So how can this be wisdom? Even the pure thought, the thought of the enlightened being, they are also not wisdom. The thought is thought. Thought is like money, a tool for you to use, understand? They are neither good or bad. It depends on the user of thought, understand? So if the user of thought has understanding and wisdom, that thought becomes wholesome, understand? But thought is just a tool. Thought cannot be wisdom, understand? It cannot be stored, understand? This wisdom is not stored anywhere, one understand? No? It's not a memory, one understand? No? You cannot like try to remember, oh, next time I face this situation, I will act like that. That is not wisdom. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom, when you have, when you understand, no matter how the situation is, no matter what the condition is, the form and mind that has that understanding and the wisdom through the enlightenment, you will know how to act. You just know how to act. And you will not suffer. You will not attach. And you will not cling. Okay? So, that answer your question. To give you faith. Yeah, I understand it's not easy. Because you try very hard. But to you, the only instrument you understand is just thought. And that's all. That's why it's very difficult for you to develop that understanding. Maybe I read to you some of the Heart Sutta notes, which are very, very relevant. It will make you understand. Because without all this explanation, it's very difficult. Because I had to write it down. Okay. We go to this meditation question first, page 27. Okay, the question is this. While sitting in half lotus for some time, the pain of the leg becomes unbearable. And then when I start to chant, the original pain ceases, but a more severe pain arises in another part of the leg. Why? So a lot of meditators, they experience a lot of funny experiences. So this was one of the questions. So I answered, I said, first you must understand what is meditation. Otherwise you will not know how to develop it. And what are you doing in the name of meditation? What is your purpose and intent? That's why you are not clear, you are not focused, you cannot meditate, you get distracted, and you will do all the funny things, just like what this cultivator did. I say, if you don't have such an understanding, then there is this tendency to react to unpleasant feeling or sensation. Understand not? What did he say? When he sit in half lotus for some time, after some time, he label it straight away pain. Understand not? The pain of the leg become unbearable. Who label? The thought label. You're the thought, don't understand. To them, is from the conditioning. But this is pain, unbearable. Understand? And what is pain? Unpleasant sensation. And what are the mental hindrance? The first two is what? Sensual desire, you will. If it's pity, sukha, or you attack, that will become sensual desire. Because you like it, you want it repeated. That's why you cannot have sensual desire, you will. Otherwise your meditation loses focus. You get entangled. Then when it is a sensation that arises, whether pleasant or unpleasant, you don't go and labor. When you say pain means what? You dislike that feeling. It becomes ill will. And this is a hindrance. Understand? A hindrance hinders your mind from becoming peaceful and relaxed. Understand? So how can you meditate after that? Because you got this aversion which is a hindrance. That's why your mind becomes restless. Understand? Unbearable. And this is not the way to meditate. Understand? And read on, then you understand. There is this tendency to react to unpleasant feeling or sensation that arise during meditation by labeling it as pain, which is an aversion or an ill will. And as we all know, ill will is one of the five mental hindrances of mind that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you don't have to take down notes. It's all inside here. As such, you are already caught or trapped by it. Understand not? Can follow, eh? Because of your dislike towards such unpleasant sensation, your mind will try to do something else. What did he do? Or what did she do? She go and do chanting. Remember? He said, after chanting, that pain gone. Yeah. To either suppress it or make it go away. And that is what most people will do. Understand? Because you try to do something. Then, as chanting is just another skillful means to train the mind and is still within the field of thought, hence, by doing so, you have lost your focus. Your meditation is not like that. Meditation, there are two steps involved. First is to train the mind to be aware. Yeah? Means, first step is to develop the training of the mind to be constantly aware, leading to what? Leading to heedfulness. Means, to the silent mind, which is ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So the first training is very important. But you are not doing that, Anasana. You are reacting to sense experience. You are reacting to sensation. Then you are doing something else by forcing it to go away. And that is totally not the training of the mind to be aware, Anasana. Then the second step is to use that trained mind to meditate or cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. Then understanding this will enable you to just silence your mind. Understand? Because you are not supposed to do all those things. So when you silence your mind and patiently relax your body and mind to allow the sensation to be without any like or dislike, what happened? What happened? When you can accept that sensation, because you will understand, if I'm not relaxed, this sensation will develop into that type of so-called pain that you label. But now I understand, right? My focus is to train my mind to be aware. I don't want to label. If I don't label, the hindrance is not there. Then my mind can become peaceful. Correct? And that's why when you just allow it to be, when you just silence your mind and patiently relax your body and mind to allow the sensation to be without any like or dislike for it, means without any like or dislike for it, because it is the nature of the body to develop that sensation. If you do not know how to relax, to enable the qi to flow through the blockage. So now you come to understand through the meditation, it's because you are not relaxed. The qi are blocked. That's why it builds up and it becomes a sensation. Sometimes it becomes numbness. Asana. Your nerves are all numb. Then you like panic. You may paralyze if you don't come out. Because you are not relaxed. But if you are relaxed, all this will not happen. So just be aware or mindful always to observe what is going on within your form and mind and to investigate via mindfulness to understand how the movement of mind from one state to another comes to be. That is to understand how the stirring of the mind comes to be and how the mind can be conditioned into negativity, emotion, selfishness and fear, etc. via delusion. So upon seeing something or hearing something or thinking of something. So this is what meditation is all about. If you understand, you do it correctly, the hindrance is not there, then your mind will become peaceful. Then you can settle down and you can meditate. And you will go through it. And your mind will become very beautiful. Because with sati, there is only space between thought and thought. You know what is space between thought, eh? I explain in the map. You look at here. Sorry, on the whiteboard. Let's say there is one thought, first thought, second thought. Then when you can be in sati, silent, relaxed in the meditation, this space, they will manifest. And this space, for most people who are heedless, who has not developed sati and stabilized it, you hardly got any space. You got no space at all. You think a lot. The thought continue to proliferate, unending, ceaselessly. Why? Because of the mental hindrance. Because throughout the day, every time you perceive something, either through your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, you react. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, become the two hindrances. And this one becomes so habitual. Throughout the day you are doing it. And this becomes a habit. So that's why your mind got no peace. Very kipo one. See something also, comment, react. Think of something, recall also, sometimes fearful, unhappy, react. Then sometimes you talk to yourself. You somehow scold inside your thought. You can actually come to know all this through mindfulness. This is how you actually lost in thought, talking to yourself and all those things. Getting very angry, unhappy over what your thought tell you. Then after that, if you can silence, like in the meditation, you can just allow that mind to be without any reaction. Means you don't label. When you don't label, there is no hindrance. Then the mind can be peaceful, understand not? That it can be in a state of awareness because it can accept that reality of that form. If I'm not relaxed, the qi cannot flow, this thing will build up, it becomes like that. Then I just feel it, understand it. If I don't react to it, it got no more mental energy, then it cannot create that type of feeling, that type of what they call sensation. Then that thought will not dissipate. That thought will not proliferate. Then you will start to dissipate. That's why the Buddha said, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. So when you allow it to be, you relax into it, the qi flow through, then that thought loses its power, cannot build up, then the hindrance no more. Then you realize sati take over. then suddenly you feel very peaceful, very calm. Meditation is like that. You must go through that phase. You don't quite endure pain like anything. That to me is torturing yourself. You go to meditation not to torture yourself. To train your mind to be peaceful, to be calm, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Why are you not getting all those things? Why are you fighting all these things? Because you fight the hindrance. You say sleepy is no good. So what you do? You force yourself not to be sleepy. Even normal student will know. When you are sleepy, you read last time, you remember? Read a bit when you're very tired, you're very sleepy. You keep on nodding. No amount of struggling will wake you up. You need to sleep and rest. Go and rest. Then after that, wake up, have a fresh mind, then study again. You don't want to resist. But you have to have understanding. Then when you understand, you go and rest. Then after that, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes you just recover. Or you go and take a bath, wash yourself. Then you come, you become fresh again. So meditation is like that. When you understand, you will know what to do. And you will not go and create all these hindrances anymore. Because your spiritual faculty, you know, is very important. So like when we started your initial puja, closing puja, when you pay respect, you develop all the spiritual faculty. That's why you must have good religious routine every day. Morning when you wake up, before you sleep, you have your puja. You develop the spiritual faculty. Then you meditate for a while. Then you radiate metta. Then you silence your mind. Then in between, whenever you have free time, you do it. Then after that, you connect all your daily life, waking moment, by doing daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of everything that you do. Bowing is very good. Then for posture, then all the connecting activity. And that is what Sati Sampajana is all about. Then when you do that, you got more and more space, less and less thought. You become more and more heedful, more and more mindful. When you don't react so much, pleasant and unpleasant, sensual desire, you will, when duality become less, when you can accept things as they are more and more, through your straightening of view. Where you can accept things as they are. People are just the way they are. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. When you can accept them for what they are, you don't get angry. You don't blame. You don't become emotional. You don't go and say all those funny things anymore. Because you can come to terms with those reality. Then your mind become more and more quiet. More and more peaceful. Less and less reactive. You just smile. You're just happy inside. Peaceful. Because this space without thought is what? The space without thought is peaceful, quiet, still. And that's why there is stillness. Finally, tranquility. That's why this space is very beautiful. This one rests your mind. And this positive energy of inner peace, inner quietness, stillness, and tranquility will actually boost up your immunity. We are this very positive mind state will make your mind very, very peaceful. And it is like heal your whatever immune system within your body. Then it also helps you to recuperate from your tired day. That's why I remember during my early day when I was cultivating. Every time I had a lot of like work to do or activity or what, then I want to recover, I want to recharge, I want to recuperate from the tired day. I just have to sit, cross my leg or lie down, then within 5-10 minutes I recover. Sometimes driving also same. If I feel that the body is getting fatigued, it need to rest, I will just park at the rest and service area or somewhere, then I just silent. And my wife know, 10-15 minutes. Make world of a difference. Initially 5 minutes enough. But later as you grow older and older, you need more time. You need to rest longer. Then even when I have very severe flu or what, you let me rest one night. Next day I recover. Because I understand how the mind can actually develop this peace, this space to heal. When you don't think, it's just silent. All of your stillness energy, they will go in. But you must know how to meditate first. You must know how to locate the gateway first. Then all this can happen. So does this explain to you now clearly that wisdom has got nothing to do with thought, and meditation is to be done with understanding. That's why this note, when it come out, it will be very useful. It has a lot of very beautiful things. Okay, that is the first question. Then after that, I share this. The Buddha teaches five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. That has a reason. This five, I think you all know, but it's now all written, very nicely written. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. For example, you got anger, think of metta or develop metta. And you have cruelty, develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop your faith. So when you, this is still thought-based, when you think of a direct opposite wholesome thought, because your mind can only do one thing at a time. When it has metta, it cannot have anger and asana. When it has compassion, it cannot have cruelty. So this is a very logical step to take. But this one is still thought-based. It will help you initially to make you more peaceful and your thought more wholesome. But the Buddha said, it may not solve your problem. So you have to move on. So the second way is to reflect and to contemplate. He said, think of the consequence of holding on to this unwholesome thought or evil state of mind, which is an evil root. If you do not abandon it, the evil root, which are the roots of all evil, will condition you to become an evil person. For example, anger can be conditioned into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. So you reflect and think of the consequence of allowing this unwholesome thought or evil root to stay in your heart, especially hatred and anger. Is one of the three poison also. It will kill you spiritually. And it's one of the three evil root. It will make you evil. That's why when you see that, you will never allow this evil root to stay in your heart. Not even for a moment. You will determine to abandon them. You will determine to cultivate wholesomeness. That's why initially is the four right effort, still thought-based. But the third one is meditative. That's why the Buddha teach everything already, but you all don't know how to make use of it to meditate. You know why it's the third way or not? What did the Buddha say? Just silent and don't do anything. And you never believe, Meditation is just silent and don't do anything. To you, it's like very funny. Silent. I don't meditate, I can become enlightened. You want to meditate, no? And who meditate? Your thought is actively meditating. The moment your thought is active, how can you be silent? How can you be in sati? How can you be heedful? You never inquire that way. That's like the third way the Buddha taught. He said, just relax and aware. We are just letting things be. This is the meditative way. We are understanding that the natural state of mind before it stir is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. Understand that? Before you get angry, before you get fearful, there was no anger, no fear there. And all this come about through what? Through what you see, what you perceive in there. Or thought that come in there. So they are conditioned by external phenomena or factor. So these are all conditioned arising state. They are not intrinsic within your nature. Understand? Your true mind got none of this. But because of your delusion, your wrong view, you react to sense experience. You react to what you see, what you hear, what you think. Then you get yourself entangled. Then you become emotional. You become angry. You become fearful. And you thought you are angry. You thought you have that fear. But it is not you, the Buddha said. These are dependent originating, condition arising state. They come and they go, impermanent. If anger is you, when anger disappears, you should die with it. Understand? But how come you didn't die? Then who are you? What are you? Then what is this anger? Why you foolishly hold on to it? Why you go and try to suppress it and control? I shouldn't have anger. Then what you do? You yan without wisdom. Means you suppress the anger. You yan until one day you cannot tahan, you erupt out. That is not patience. The true patience is not suppression. True patience is to be patient with understanding that he is just the way he is. A deluded person, an angry, emotional person will behave like that. So you can accept him for what he is. That's why you have patience born of wisdom. Not patience born of suppression. That is not the real patience. So meditation is about understanding. When you understand that the original mind is already peaceful, still, your true mind has none of all this. The conditioned arising mind is your mundane mind, your thinking mind, your worldly mind. And how come you can be deluded by it? That's why the Buddha's final summary of the First Noble Truth is what? In short, what did he say? It is due to your self-delusion that condition your wrong view or self-delusion to attach and cling onto your five aggregate of form and mind. That is your mundane mind, understand? That is your thinking mind. That is your worldly mind. You attach to what? The thing you perceive, the form within the mind. You attach to all your feeling, your perception, your emotion, and what you become conscious of. You take them all as very real. That's how you get yourself entangled. You cannot see their characteristics. They are impermanent, leading to suffering the moment you attach, cling, and grasp when you give meaning. Because these are all mind-made, created through mind. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, they are empty. They come and they go. There is no permanent unchanging entity there. That's why it's non-self. Not a being. Not a person inside there. So when you understand all this, meditation is just to understand. Thing is just the way it is. Why can't I be silent? The moment I am silent, I am peaceful. Yeah. Why you want to go and meditate until you become so miserable? That's why I always say you come to retreat or meditation not to torture yourself. But why are you not peaceful? Why are you not able to enter the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness? It's because you don't understand the essential teaching. You cannot understand the hindrance. You cannot understand the essential spiritual faculty. You never cultivate the spiritual faculty. Throughout the day, you are so heedless with all the hindrance, and it becomes so habitual. That's why you become heedless. You think a lot. And when you want to meditate, you cannot. But the spiritual faculty is not there to help you. That's why cultivation is about spiritual faculty. You start with devotional practice, puja. Then you train your mind. You go to retreat and meditation is to stabilize that sati. Because when you develop sati, you have to stabilize it. If in a retreat also you cannot stabilize, you cannot come out into daily life. Even a lot of people who go to retreat, during that retreat, maybe they settle down the mind. They become more calm, more peaceful, and they experience very good mind state. But they fail to understand the essential teaching. They fail to see that this is heedful living. Whereas what they experience in the daily life is heedless living. That's why so much stress, so much problem, so much suffering. That every time they got problem, they run away and go to retreat. And every time they go retreat, they come back to life, they repeat. Why? Because only at the retreat, you got conducive environment and condition. Everybody keep preserved. The environment is like specially created for you, the setting. That's why you can become very peaceful. And these are conditioned states. These are not real, true mind state. But when you come out into society to live life, you don't have such condition state, a perfect state, that type of setting. You have to confront life. You have to confront different type of people with various type of personality and character. And sometimes you got to face people whom you don't like the Buddha said. So how are you going to counter all this? when you don't have the spiritual faculty, when you are not able to be mindful, peaceful, aware, if your mind is not aware and silent, you will not have the clarity of mind to see things as they are, and you cannot understand what is going on. And when you cannot understand what is going on, how can you live life? Understand? Your senses, they come and go, arise and pass away so fast. And every moment of sense experience when it arises, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought, they are so fast when you have to go into life. The sixth sendal, you cannot cope without sati, without mindfulness. That's why without a very stable mindfulness, ever mindful, you cannot cope. You think a lot, you react a lot, and you become heedless because you get lost in thought. You are always preoccupied with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. If every moment of sense experience also you're so busy, then where is there space in thought, between thought? You hardly have any space. Even when you go to sleep, all this, what they call bundle of memory, full of accumulated thought. What is it that you accumulate? Memory, right? Memory of what? Your good and bad experiences in life. That's why you accumulate all this. And this is full, no? Until your brain got no space also, no? Not to say to have the daily life space between thought, no? Your brain also got no space. Then what happened? That's why you think a lot. Because thought is what? Respond to memory. Through memory it released. Through memory it released. It's just like when you recall that memory, then you react. You recall that memory, you react. That's why sleep also you got nightmares. Sleep also you got subconscious release and unconscious release, and it make you crazy. This is what meditation is all about, when you have awareness to see all this arising within the form and mind. Then you start to understand what the Buddha is trying to tell you. They are only thought. Arise and pass away. That's why impermanent. You never inquire, how come they got such power to make human beings so miserable? Understand? So full of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow and lamentation. It's only a thought, no? Understand? Arise and pass away. Who give thought such power? It's the living being's delusion and ignorance, understand? Not understanding who they are, what they are. That's why you must go and read that green book. You know what is the green book? The one that I pass it out. I received a very good feedback from one of the Dhamma friends. I read to you. Those who are new, you can have a copy. I still have them in my car, I think. Oh, today I didn't drive, sorry. Oh, there, at the back. Yeah, you can collect, it's at the back. See, this feedback is very good. This one comes from one of the sisters. I read to you, it's 3rd of February. Brother Teo, is it? The green book you gave us is superb. I know those are the things you have been sharing with us. But it's all in one piece, in one book. I understand what you say now. Maha sadhu to you, brother. Everything that I explained, the five mental hindrance, spiritual faculty, who are you, what are you, leading to all the understanding of the mind. They are all inside there. That's why you have to make full use of this book. It's just a 2-hour sharing, our Thursday class. I think dated 15th of May before we go to Taiwan. So if you can actually understand, then you will have different understanding. Then when you go to retreat, you meditate, you will be very different. Okay? So just now I finished 3. I didn't finish the rest. I read to you the rest. The third way, you know, just silent and aware. Then the fourth way is what? What is the fourth way that the Buddha taught? Yeah? What is the fourth way? Trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. Understand not? When there is anger, when there is fear, the Buddha said. That's why under the Dhammanupassana, fourth foundation, what did the Buddha ask you to do? First is mindfulness of what? The five hindrance of mind. When your mind is restless, you must be aware. When your mind reacts to sense experience, when there is sensual desire or you will like pain, you must be aware. Aware means what? Aware to investigate into what happened. That's why he said, trace the origination factor. Before you had this restlessness, you were very peaceful. Isn't it? Before you have this sensation that you call pain, you don't have pain. Isn't it? How does it originate? It's always through one of the senses. Either from what you see or what you hear or what you think, then you become angry and emotional. Or when you meditate, your posture, your tactile consciousness, understand? When the chi doesn't flow, when you are not relaxed, then you realize it's from one of my senses. So if I already trace my origination factor, means I know how it come about, what must you do after that? How can you reverse this after you have become mindful of what happened and you have traced the origination factor? Let's say you see somebody, then you get angry. You are that person you don't like one. You have memory of it. So you know the origination factor. What must you do? What must you do? You said metta is one of the way, but now is to develop understanding before you do all those things. You want to understand how it arises, understand? No? You haven't even identified how it arises. You only know it's through the senses, no? That's why you have to reflect and contemplate. That's why the first turning and second turning wisdom. You recall through the first turning what you have heard from the Buddha. He has taught you to trace the origination factor. Then second turning is what? This noble truth of suffering, dukkha, is to be understood, understand? No? Because this one is suffering. You need to understand. Then the Buddha said origination factor. Means how does it originate? There must be something that I did cause this to happen. And that one is always your wrong view. Your delusion. Your sakayadity. That's why when you come to understand that it's due to your wrong view, because you are conditioned to react and label it as pain, or you are conditioned to react through memory that this guy last time cheat me, hurt me before, I don't like him. That's why you become angry. Or you have already reflected and contemplated last time, I want to deal with this guy. If he come again, I'm going to do all this to him. So all this is already anusaya little tendency waiting to erupt when the condition comes. So you know these are all wrong thoughts. Thought that will condition you into negativity. Because this is your habitual tendency. Your wrong view. So you have to straighten your view. Then you have to reflect and contemplate. How can I not react that way? How can I come up with the understanding so that the next time I hear something, see something, or when my thought arises again, I will not react like last time? How can I be at peace with what I see, what I hear, what I think, and what the tactile consciousness arises? How? Silence just temporarily free you. Acceptance is correct. You have to accept them for what they are. Acceptance is wisdom. Understand? Acceptance is what? I accept them for what they are. Understand? When you accept them, is you don't react anymore. You don't get angry anymore. But it doesn't mean you agree with them. Understand? Because you already know. Angry person will say angry thing. Deluded person will do deluded things. Selfish people will do selfish things. They are just the way they are. I can accept them for what they are, then my mind will not stir. I will be at peace. then I can read it like what Christina say, metta, love, understand. Develop that understanding first. Otherwise, you straight away, may you be well and happy. I tell you, it doesn't work. Because when you are very emotional, very excited, even that word also cannot come out. Because your hatred is still there. Your unhappiness with that person is still there. So, to trace the origination factor demand a lot of contemplative wisdom. And I came out with this understanding was this was done by me in my past life. That's why I have this understanding. That's why I straight away when I came and meditated this life, I understood this automatically. Nobody taught me. No teacher, nothing. And this is like a prototype answer. That cut short your training. You don't have to go and do R&D to find out and go and come out with all sorts of solutions. This is the best solution. Accord and flow. Accepting as they are, like the Buddha said. Seeing things as they are. Thing is just the way they are, not other ways. Nature's law like that. Living being like that. Deluded, do deluded. Selfish, do selfish. Wise, do wise thing. So when you understand that thing is just the way they are, that's why you accept the reality of the moment. You accept what is. You don't go against nature's law. You go against nature's law means what? You want things your way. You don't want him to do this to you. You don't want him to show you the third finger. You get angry over a third finger. What is all that? It's your conditioning. Why you want to behave like that? Why you want to become so deluded? Why you want to attach to all this? It's because of your wrong view. So when you start to straighten your view, like I said, then you react less and less. Means what? Your hindrance start to reduce. Sensual desire, you will start to reduce. Duality. That's why you come to understand why Krishnamurti says choiceless awareness. You don't go and make a choice. You don't go and react, understand? You don't go and make a judgment. You don't go and do all those funny things anymore. So that's why I read to you the fourth way. The Buddha said, trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought and then retrospectively reverse it. Via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana, via the cultivation of the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. So this mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases is very important because all defilement they arise from your sense bases, nowhere else. And when you cannot understand what happened upon sense experience, that's why the Buddha said you need to have yoniso manasikara. Destruction of asava can only occur in one who knows and see. Know and see what? The Buddha said. Know through wisdom, through the direct seeing, to arise the wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara. That's why you don't have that yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You cannot deal with sense experience. You cannot cope with life. That's why you keep on becoming heedless. You react to sense experience. Even meditation, sit, tactile consciousness, after a while, you react to it already. And all this is in the teaching, but nobody teach you. And you don't know how to cultivate. And you somehow went labor pain, not this, not that. Your mind is actively doing all those funny things. And the more you know, the less mindful you become. Why can't you just silent, relax, and aware, and be with that thing, and understand what is going on? Then realize that the mind that was originally peaceful, no need to do anything. That's why the third way the Buddha said, just aware, silent. He even gave an analogy, the bullock cart analogy. Remember? When he asked the disciple to go and collect water for him. Remember that? First time the disciple went, he said, Buddha, too muddy, cannot, because the block cart went over and stirred. Second time, same. But third time, the disciple was very happy. Oh, Buddha, this is not Buddha. The water was clear. He said, when you train your mind, it's the same. If you don't stir the thing, the original state of mind is already clarity, stillness, silence. But because you stir, because you like the buloka kepo, you stir. That's why the mind is clouded. The next session remind me to read to you this part where I talk about the true mind one. That one is very important because 10:30 already. Right? Oh, 10:35 already. I have to stop. Okay. For those who have the book, you turn to page 42, the true mind. This one is very useful. This true mind one is very beautiful. You shouldn't have yet. Haven't come home yet. Just compile. But this book got everything that I share with you properly documented and written down. This one is about our true mind. Remind me, page 42. This one, when I read to you, I tell you, a lot of you will become enlightened. Really. When you understand that, you actually break through. You are not deluded. You want to stay back? Yes. Oh, yes. I better read. Okay, those who have to go, you go. Yeah, it's recorded, you don't worry. I will just read, then I will repeat next Thursday. Because next Thursday, before the New Year, we got one more session or two more. No, 5-10 minutes only. Okay. You listen. This is chapter 11, Heart Sutta. Our true mind or essence of mind is always there. True suchness, or in Mandarin is Ru Ru Putong. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati. And you cannot try to be mindful. Because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing, etc., are always by the thought. If one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, that is the essence of mind is already there, and we don't have to do anything to be mindful. Because the moment you are silent without thought, you are already mindful, naturally mindful and heedful. And you will be able to see things as they are clearly. And naturally. To understand the truth and the reality arising within that moment. For if we do not stir the mind or cause it to arise the thinking via our heedlessness or conditioned thinking, born of our wrong view, then our mind will be quiet and silent without thought. See, when you don't react, when you don't have wrong view. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is the natural state of the silent mind. The silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine forth from the nature within. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within or with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought and is preoccupied with what you think, with your activity of mind, with your thinking and reacting. Just like the analogy of the sun is always there and its ray ever shining. But when the clouds are there, its ray cannot shine through. So similarly, your thought, your various emotion and reaction or stirring of the mind are like clouds obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth. Hence, your inability to see things as they are via the direct seeing with your true mind or silent mind. That's why you see with the mundane mind, the thinking mind, with all your views and opinion, and that one cannot see. That one has a lot of delusion. How can it see? According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are Abhijja Paccaya Sankhara, then Sankhara Paccaya Vijnana. The Buddha said dependent on ignorance, which is avijja, arises sankhara, which is mental thinking or activity. Then dependent on mental thinking, sankhara, arises the mind or consciousness, or mental consciousness, which is vijnana. This is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing, or the perception and labeling, etc. That is where That is, there is no one to see or to perceive. This is just objective seeing. As the true sati is without the observer, there is only an awareness of the phenomena or the impersonal process of dependent origination arising from the pure awareness or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without the thought, which is part of the egoic mind. Or as per what the Buddha had often said, in the seeing there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see or observe, because they are all conditioned arising naturally and causal phenomena. So this is the true understanding of anatta within the dependent origination, born of right view, hence no more sakkaya ditti and self-delusion. It is self-delusion that conditions the living being to cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, or the mundane mind. And this is the main cause of one's suffering. And because of the first two links of the dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir the mind because of your ignorance that conditions your habitual tendency to think the wrong thought. And this is how you become heedless. So if there is no problem, so if there is no wisdom or universal manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, then the mind will be conditioned into craving via the link vedana paccaya tanha, or dependent on feeling craving comes to be when there is no wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this is how you understand. Then from there you break free. The true mind is very different from your mundane mind. That one is ever shining inside there, the essence of mind. When you understand that, you are not deluded by the conditioned arising mind, thinking mind, mundane mind. But that one is not you. That one is conditioned arising, impermanent. It has the characteristics. The other one is zu ru putong. Those who understand Mandarin will know. It's tas tas suchness. Because that one cannot come out. Not a human being. Cannot live. No word on. Just the way. Direct. Pure. Nothing on the unconditioned. But that one you cannot connect until your mind is silent. Until your mundane mind don't interfere. Until the cloud disperses. What are clouds? Your thinking, your emotion, your fear, your insecurity, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your delusion. All these are the clouds inside there. That's why you got so much memory. That's why you are so heedless. You where got space for your nature to come out? That's why you think a lot. And you some more want to be mindful, try to be mindful, not here, not there, create more thought. Create more cloud. That's why when you understand, you're just silent. Spiritual faculty there, you will be able to do it. Okay, we better end. Huh? Oh, extra 15 minutes. Okay, I also rejoice. Then we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. That's why when this book come out, a lot of you all will progress very fast. Spend time to read through. Those who go for the retreat, you will definitely get a copy. Those who don't go, you get later. Because we are going to give it out on the day we do the briefing on the 7th of March at my house, 10 o'clock morning. If you are not going, if you want to come and attend that, what they call, pre-retreat briefing, you can. Then you can receive a copy. Maybe you make a donation to Kayanamita Fund, to be fair. Otherwise, you come, you don't go retreat, then you get first. Other people don't come, they don't get. So, it's up to you. It's for your own, what they call, benefit. If you find that it's so useful, you want it, you can come, don't worry. But I understand some people cannot go because of other things, GST and all those things. A lot of people are involved in GST. Goods and services tax. then also some of them may have some important appointments or what. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Then after that,
Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakanta loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to the better relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ibbina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one until nirvana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Thank you. father give
Yeah, no.
very heavy, or I know it's very heavy, so how are you going to carry it?
But she's confirmed not to wait. But I still know.
She keep quiet and never say
anything. Yeah, she actually told you. But I try my best, no?
Okay, I see her already.
Yeah, she's very busy.
Okay, good night.
Okay, bye-bye. See you.
Where is he, Anne?
Huh?
Where is his name?
Mucho.
Oh. Oh, that's all.